Welcome to
Ray and Faye Today, talking sports with friends.
Ray and Faye Today, talking
sports radio on the dial. Check us out, we'll make you smile.
Ray
and they spit it, don't play, and we're talking nothing.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay Today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor. You want to join us on a ride, give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, shoot us your emails, your questions at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Might have to get one on the air today, Ray. Also, check out the website, rayandtaytoday.com, very interactive. Tweet at us. We do a lot on Twitter, man. We got Randall Cunningham, Daryl Dawkins. Folks are tweeting at Ray and Tay. So check us out on Twitter, like us on Facebook. And like always, check out YouTube. Got some great videos, great interviews with George Reister and Randall about their draft day experience. And check out the podcast on iTunes as well. Ray, let them know what we're talking about, man. We're in the finals.
We got a lot going on this Friday and this sports weekend. So first, we got to talk about what's coming up. So we got the French Open finals. We've got the Belmont Stakes, a run for the Triple Crown. We've got some breaking news in college basketball. We've got some signings in pro football. And then we got to talk about the hockey, man. We've got game one of the Stanley Cup finals, and we'll talk about the rest of that series. And then we'll talk about game one of the NBA finals. You got your Gatorade, your Powerade? You ready?
Come on, man. Come on.
And then we finish the show talking about a four-time NBA champion, power forward. I think you'll get a kickback on this edition of Where You At. It's not Wednesday. We used to do Where You At Wednesday. Now we just do Where You At on any day. So we'll talk about him at the end of the show.
That sounds great. I got to ask you, man, did you make the Dean's List? Now, this is hard for us to talk about. Ray and I, for those who listen to the show on a regular, you can check out our website. We talk about our fandom and who we love. We're Tar Heel fans, and Rashard McCants, don't know why now, years later, but he did explain that he basically took fake classes in African-American studies, didn't do papers, and got, you know, on the Dean's List, got A's, and didn't even write a paper. And I kind of threw it out there on Twitter. How much trouble is Roy Williams and the basketball team going to be in? What's going to happen next? That's what I want to know with this claim of academic fraud and how it gets investigated and how it plays out. What do you think? And what are your thoughts about the situation?
I think basketball brings in so much money, and especially down there in Tobacco Road, that Roy Williams is going to be safe. He might have to take a hit. And I don't think he'll lose his job like Butch Davis did, but this is a huge black eye for North Carolina. They had all of this, I think it was 60 Minutes, did a big expose on them and the football team and all this academic impropriety. So it's a shame. The truth of the matter is it happens everywhere at every school. It's just that Carolina got beat down over the last 5 or 6 years, both in football and in basketball. So they got to do something about this. I mean, we're living in a bit of a hypocrisy because, you know, many of these kids don't go to school, especially the one and dones. I mean, they just need to be academically eligible through the NCAA tournament, and then they're gone. So the whole thing is a bit of a farce, but
right.
To make the Dean's List, you know.
Come on, man. I worked hard. I didn't get Dean's List.
Give him a beer.
You know,
I
got my 3-4, my 3-7.
No, it's really not funny. It really is a shame because these kids are not there to learn, and there are many, 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 many kids who are there to learn. So it's a bit of a travesty that, you know, the football and basketball players get this, you know, get this treatment. But let's bring it out. Let's bring it out in the open. And if these are really academic institutions, well, then let's be academic institutions, and let's take this seriously and not just give these phantom classes.
Yeah. Well, on a positive note, in some sports, you know, Clowney signed his deal with the Texans, so he's ready to go, and a lot of these rookies are ready to go. They went through their symposium the last 2 weekends and, you know, did their uniforms and trading cards and all that. And, you know, the NFL they're also going to be looking for a new site. It doesn't, you know, there's not going to be the NFL draft next year in Radio City. So it'll be interesting to see potentially L.A. or Chicago. They'll announce at the end of this month where it's going to be, and then other cities are getting ready to throw their bids in. Where do you think the NFL draft should be at?
I don't know. It's logistics, right? So it's whoever has a three-day an arena that's big enough that has 3 days, because I think it's just the scheduling problem at Radio City this year. And then Madison Square Garden, obviously, the Knicks and the Rangers, one of them might be in the playoffs, so you're never off for 3 days. But it'll probably be in a big market. You know what would be the power move to put it in L.A., because L.A. doesn't have a team. That could be the first step towards getting the Jaguars or somebody to move to L.A.
Because right, and they said they want a team in the next 5 years.
It's crazy
in LA,
that the
so.
Second, I mean, with all due respect to California and the Sun, it's crazy that the second largest TV market doesn't have a football team, right? You have two in San Francisco, one in the San Francisco Bay Area, San Francisco and Oakland, and then you got one in San Diego, but you don't have one in L.A.? The second biggest TV market in the country.
Well,
you don't have a football
you know who
team
might move is not the Jaguars. They're just fixing up their stadium. But I think it could be the Chargers. The Chargers need a new stadium, and they might be the ones to move. So
that
they might leave San Diego.
Sense. It's a similar fan base. It's about 2 hours away. It's only once a week on a Sunday. So if you made it a little bit south of L.A., in north of San Diego, you might hit the home run there with both of those cities. But it's a shame, again, that they don't have a franchise there. But speaking of California quarterbacks, what do you think about your boy Kaepernick? At first they announced this mega deal as if it was $61 million of guaranteed money, and then when you peel back the onion, it looks like it's not that big a deal. It's actually a very, I don't want to say the word, reasonable, but it's sort of a fair deal. So I don't know that either side really hit a home run on this, but both sides can walk away happy.
Yeah, but you know, he's young enough that I think he'll earn all $126 million of it. I mean, I think what it does is, and you run down the list, the Niners have got a ton of guys. Upati, Boone on offensive line, Davis, Crabtree. I mean, they have a lot of people to sign. So I think his concern, and smart of him, right, he wants to win, is like, look, I don't want to break the bank so much that I can't keep, you know, Crabtree and somebody to protect me. So, but, you know, he goes from getting, like, close to $1 million this year and, you know, gets basically a $12 million signing bonus. And then each year it's sort of like the contract is sort of, you know, like a new separate one-year deals. I think it's smart. I think it's smart and, you know, he'll get his. And he's got a lot of incentives, so it's good. And I guess next up in line, you know, with their handout, Andy Dalton and Alex Smith, and then the Cam Newton, but then the other kids from the quarterback class. We spoke about it off the air, Andrew Luck, RG3, and Russell Wilson.
Right. What's Kaepernick going to think when Andrew Luck is $25 million a year?
Yeah, well, him and Wilson, you know, they might deserve it. You know, and Seattle was smart to sign Thomas, Sherman, and Doug Baldwin now. And Michael Bennett. I think Seattle's doing it the right way so that when they do Russell Wilson, and like we always say, the NFL contract's all funny money, so it's going to be what it's going to be. But I tell you, Alex Smith and Andy Dalton, they better play ball because they, you know, those two SEC quarterbacks are hungry. McCarron and Murray might want to house their spots, so don't underestimate that either, you know, especially Murray and KC. If he's healthy and he's good, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't think he has anything to worry about Alex Smith, but I don't know that Alex Smith will get paid like an elite quarterback either, though. So it feels like he'll never get his just due, Alex. But I guess we'll see. They haven't been talking that much in Kansas City, so that's a little bothersome if you're on Alex Smith's side. But anyway, let's talk. You know what? You speak a little French? You want to talk a little French? French Open?
Parlez-vous français? I've been there. Definitely love the city. You
okay.
know, I have my crepes and all that, so I want to ask you, it's what we predicted. Tell the fans the finals and the men and the women. I mean, we predicted the men. We surely didn't predict the women.
Oh, no. Yeah, exactly. So it's one versus two in the men. So on Sunday, it'll be Nadal versus Djokovic. Nadal won in straight sets. Djokovic won in four sets. So it'll be a matchup of essentially the two best players in the world right now, but Nadal is on his surface, right? It's hard to believe that anybody can knock him off if he's healthy at the French Open. And then on the women's side, you've got 4 versus 7. So you've got Maria Sharapova at number 7, and she's going up against number 4, Simona Halep, 22 years old, Romanian. So you got a Russian against a Romanian, and then a Serbian versus a Spaniard. So you've got a little bit of European tennis going on right there.
Where are the Americans in tennis? I mean, if it wasn't
well,
for
Americans
Serena,
are very good on clay.
No, I know, but just in general, I mean, if it wasn't for Serena, I mean, holding us down the last how many years, there'd be no Americans winning in tennis. That's kind of strange. It feels weird. You gotta also mention though, when Nadal, he kind of put the smack down on Murray, and Murray's been, you know, he's not been great on clay, but he got to the semis, you know, but to lose 6-3, 6-2, 6-1, maybe Murray is ready to have another big Wimbledon run. We'll see what happens. So, are you ready Saturday for NBC's got a big day, right? The Triple Crown and then the Stanley Cup Finals. Let's talk about the Triple Crown. California Chrome is going for it, man. He's got his nasal strip. The horse has been, you know, trying to get ready and keep himself calm in the starting gates. He's in lane 2. They haven't had a winner in there since the 1990s. What do you think? Can California Chrome do this or what?
I was betting against him in his first race at the
I've never picked
at
him.
Churchill Downs, and then I said he'd win at Pimlico. And now at Belmont, you know what? Let's go for it. He's going to win. We're going to have our first Triple Crown winner since 1978. It's going to be in the mile and a half at the Belmont.
That would be amazing.
Let's go for it. Put on the nasal strips. I'll put on my nasal strips.
Yeah,
I
probably need a nasal strip with
race.
All these allergies going on right now. And I'll go with you with that. I'm going to go Triple Crown, and I'll take California Chrome winning, too. I've learned my lesson.
He's a 3-5 favorite. I mean, everybody's expecting him to win.
Yeah. I got to stop going against that horse. And this will be the first Latin American jockey.
Jockey? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
To win. So, what's his name? Victor Fernandez or something. So that'd be kind of cool, man. And, you know, it's a great story. The horse seems to be loved and beloved and all that good stuff. You know, before we get to the Stanley Cups, though, I got to ask you this, man. Two things. Real quick in baseball. Yo, I right now am so loving Tanaka. I'm loving how some of these teams are playing. You know, the Yankees, you know, were getting smacked up by Oakland, and then you get a great pitcher come in and sort of shut it down. But, man, Oakland and the Giants, I mean, these teams are playing some ball. And I don't know, what do you think going, you know, we're almost at the All-Star break. I mean, how many All-Stars could the Oakland A's have with Donaldson, Brandon Moss, the pitching? What do you think what's going on?
They're doing great, you know, and it's funny.
Yeah.
They're not – nobody is in the, you know, crazy MVP voting like Miguel Cabrera, Trout, you know, those kind of guys. But they're all, you know, doing more than their fair share. It's pretty amazing. This team – you know what? This is amazing. I mean, I don't know. Are they the San Antonio Spurs of baseball? I mean, this team is just – they just do it. But they don't have Duncan Ginobili, you know, and Parker. They've got Brandon
Right, they're more
Moss
like the Pistons, right?
Yeah, they got Brandon Moss leading them with a .284 average. Josh Donaldson is probably their big home run hitter with 16. And I think Cespedes has got, what, like 12, 13 home runs. So – this team is amazing. You know what? This team's amazing. It seems like they always fall short in the playoffs, but they're a fun team to watch. And I hope for their sake that they hold on and then go deep in the playoffs. But this is a fun team to watch, man. And, again, you look at their team, and I made this mistake this year, last year, the year before. You look at their roster, and you're thinking to yourself, you know, Jed Lowry and Alberto Callaspo and Josh Donaldson.
Right, you're not scared. You're not scared.
Moss.
But
you're
listen,
not scared
Bob Melvin does
Coco
it.
Crisp. Yeah.
He does it, man.
He does it, and he does it with what he's got. and Billy Beane gives him the, you know, gives him the tools, and he wins. Remember a couple years ago when he had a bad first half of the season, people were talking about firing Bob Melvin, but since then, for the last, you know, half a year, the full year last year and half a year this year,
maybe the best manager
great.
In baseball.
I mean, he might be the best manager. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know what's kind of funny, though, man? The AL East, it was very close for a minute, and now Toronto has just gone on a tear. 8-2 in their last 10. They're 37-24. They're balling. And then on the other contrast, who I thought could win, the Rays, they have crashed 23-38.
Are they going to trade David Price?
They've lost 10 in a row? It's bad. They're playing hard. I think Price will be gone. And I think the Blue Jays, I think they're legit because their pitching's holding up. And they are getting all their guys are hitting. They're playing in the field. They're staying healthy.
They're doing that
even
without Reyes.
Jose Reyes.
Think about how much money they have put in Reyes, and he's not even doing that well. So,
yeah, but he's starting to wake up a little. I got him on my fantasy baseball team. You know, I couldn't cut him, but he's starting to pick it up. So it'll be a lot of fun. But like we were saying, it's time, man. You know, matter of fact, we need a little bit of intro for this because Ray and Tay don't normally get so excited about and speak about hockey during the regular season. But right now, what we've been seeing is worthy of some beef. Hockey takes the stage. Ray and Tay.
We're back, and we're back to talk pucks. I tell
Stanley
you what.
Stanley Cup.
L.A., New York hasn't happened. We talked about this since 81 with the Yankees and the Dodgers. But what a fun series. First game went to overtime.
Great
game. I think the numbers were 3 out of the last 4 games for the Kings and 4 out of the last 6 games for the Rangers have gone to overtime. So all of these hockey playoffs, just like in basketball, we had a great first round, and then the second and third rounds were just okay. The NHL playoffs have been great, and these two teams have been playing some tough, tough hockey. And I tell you what, Henrik Lundqvist, even though he lost that game, game one, I mean, his team lost that game, it was through no fault of his own. I mean, this dude was stopping everything.
Everything.
In the third quarter.
Well, especially the third period. The Kings dominated. Shots on goal was like, what?
20-3.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
So his team only put up 3 shots on Jonathan Quick, and they put up 20 on him, and he blocked all of them. So this series is going to go to 6 or – I mean, I think it's going to go 7. I mean, these teams are so closely matched. And
you know, the Rangers really – I think they needed that game. They started off 2-0, and – you got to bring that home. I really think you got to bring that home, and I feel like they should have taken advantage of the Kings just coming off the game 7 and you know, less rest. I don't know. That was a bad sign for me.
Isn't that the third game in these past 2 series that L.A.'s come back from down 2? I think they did it twice to Chicago. So that's 3 times in the last 2
Justin
weeks.
Williams is a beast, though, too.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, he's nice, man. I mean, I got to tell you, they were impressive. And what's the other kid that with the pass in between the legs? That was nasty.
Oh, yeah. Well, he
good.
Almost cost them because they underestimated the Rangers' speed. The Rangers came out
on the break,
on the break, just like San Antonio. We'll get to this in a second, but San Antonio underestimated Miami's speed, their hand speed, their foot speed. So similarly, the Rangers got to have some quickness for the Kings. But the Kings bounced back. They stopped making mistakes, and they went to overtime. So who you got on Saturday?
You know, I thought they should have won game one, but I think they can get one on the road. Hockey, home ice, you know, what I like about hockey or what's weird about hockey is that it can change in a minute. So I actually think the Rangers – they learned a lot from that game, and I think they'll step up and they'll take game 2.
Okay, all right. I think the Rangers take game two to tie it up 1-1. Looks like we got a caller. Let's see if the caller wants to talk some NBA finals. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Ray and Tay.
Hey, Ray and Tay. It's Oren Luke, bro. How you doing?
Oren, what's up?
What's up, what a great game yesterday.
Hey, listen, we got to give you props. You called the Spurs against OKC way before it was coming down to the end when we were talking about Game 5. You called it. So what do you think in this series? I mean, forget the cramps because I got to tell you, I think Miami could have stole Game 1 if he didn't ever get hurt or didn't have to come out with the cramps. But just in general, what's your prediction for this series with the Spurs and Heat?
I think the Spurs are going to win it, man. I think the Spurs will win it. I think what I saw yesterday was, overall everything, everybody played. But, you know, the whole thing I take out of it is that LeBron James has been fatigued the whole season. And it just that situation just amplified it. You know what
he's
I mean?
He's doing too much, you think?
He's been logging too many minutes. There's the thing that Popovich has done to protect his players. Well, Spoelstra has to start doing that to protect LeBron. I mean, you can't, you know, he's putting in too much mileage right now. And I think that especially
kind of agree with
some of the mediocre teams, you got to put it, let the reserves, the people who came, these veterans that came for league minimums, get some burn out of them and stop putting it so much on his shoulders. Because he's only, you know, this is where you need him at, and now he's starting to break down because he's tired. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
I really believe that, yeah, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying that's a good point. I think it was extreme measures, right? I mean, at some point, Doris Burke was there with the thermometer, 102 on the court. It was a little extreme measures, but I think overall, I mean, here's an example. In that game, how does Haslam not play? Especially when Chris Anderson's banged up. He does not – I three coaches, Spoelstra, Scotty Brooks, and Frank Vogel, I don't like their rotations, and they don't rely on their bench enough. And to me, Popovich is a master. He made for that stretch run, his guys were only playing 20-some-odd minutes, and they can go for the fourth quarter with the big three and their main guys and push it in the fourth. And that's the way you got to do
But think about who his mentor is, right? His mentor is Pat Riley, and Pat Riley is notorious for just coming down to seven guys in the playoffs. So
yeah.
I guess it's to be expected, and you could argue that his bench isn't as deep or as talented. So R.C. Buford has given Popovich a much better bench than Riley is given Spoelstra.
Right, and in points last night, the bench was 34 to 20. Ray Allen got busy, had a great game, but you know, to me, the Spurs, for the Heat to win this series, their bench, and during the season they average 26 points a game, they got to start to get between 30 and 40. And so I don't care if you put in Beasley or Norris Cole get some points or it's Haslam getting some points off the bench and Birdman, they are going to have to start to score a little bit more, I think, for the Heat to win this, which I think they will do in six. Let me tell you something. You got to be concerned as a Spurs fan, though. One thing I would be concerned about, I think Haslam will play game two, and I don't think Duncan and Splitter will score as much and as easily as they did inside. And I would be concerned about Parker and all the Spurs turnovers. Spurs were very sloppy, and the Heat, when they put that defense on, man, you cannot get anywhere on the court. And I think Wade is healthy enough that for this series he can press defensively.
But you look at this. I think they figured out how to do this. When they cut the turnovers out is when they started throwing passes, not bounce passes. Threw too many bounce passes, which caused, that's playing to the Heat strength. They like the passing lane.
Right.
If you're going to throw a bounce pass, they're going to get their hand in there, deflect it, intercept it off to the races. Tim Duncan, to me, is going to get his every night. Because who on the Heat is going to stop him? The Heat have a problem with big men. And Chris Bosh, the way he plays, he's not going to be a threat to push Tim Duncan anywhere out of there because he's
That's why I think Greg Oden should be playing in this series. Forget Haslam. I think you need to put the big body. Why'd you sign Greg Oden? Just to sit there? Play
exactly.
The man.
Beasley, too. You know, these people that they got to match up, they were so busy worried about the Pacers to me. Use them against the Spurs. The Spurs have a bigger squad than the Pacers somewhat, you know, and they got more depth in the bench. And, you know, I won't be surprised, I'm saying it now, that they – let's look at it the opposite way I looked at last night. If there weren't 23 turnovers by the Spurs, right, and mm-hmm. they got their average about 7 to 8, what would the score have been then?
Yeah, so that's why this was a weird game. No, that's a great point, Oren, because they had 30 yeah. assists. So that's unbelievable in an NBA game to have 30 assists, and they shot 59% from the field. So that was fantastic, and yet they had 23 turnovers. So usually you lose a game when you have 23 turnovers, and yep. you usually win a game when you shoot 58% from the field. So you could look at the glass half empty or the glass half full if you're the Spurs, but the good thing for them is that they played really, really well from about the 7 or 8 minute on in the left in the fourth quarter. So with or without LeBron James, they made those shots. Now, you could argue LeBron would have been better on rotations and maybe would have given them a hard time, but still, they shot, what, they shoot 14 for 16 from the field, 6 for 6 from 3 in the fourth.
And Danny Green, 11 points in the fourth. Danny Green was huge, you know. I mean, maybe we should ask him if he went to class in North Carolina, though.
Let me tell you this.
I don't want to talk about the Maryland players. Me and O know some stories about the Maryland players. But I will say this. I think LeBron is going to come back with vengeance in game two. And I'm telling you, you're going to see, I'll go bold and say, if not a triple-double, 37-8-8. He's going to have one of those games that's memorable and will make you realize why he is the Jordan of this time. And they're gonna beat the Spurs game two. I really believe the Heat are going to win game two. I think he's a little angry. People talking a lot of smack. You know what's so funny? LeBron can't do anything wrong. He can't even get a cramp. And for everybody on Twitter and all those idiots out there saying, oh, he should have played through it, they've never played sports. You can't play through a cramp. He even came in and got that one basket. That was amazing. So watch what he does game two. It's going to be man.
Yeah, or who you got in game two?
Spurs.
Okay. They're hard.
Wait, you got to tell us. You think the Spurs are going to sweep or win in five? What's your final prediction, man? Come on.
I think the Spurs are going to be done. I think the most is going to go with six games, man. And for this reason alone, LeBron has to do that. You see what I'm saying? It's not so much he's going to come with. He has to give them about 40 points a game. He has to. Because at the end of the day, you got three to four people on San Antonio getting double digits. Easy. And we're not even talking about Boris Diaw. You got Patty Mills. There's too many people to worry about. I think that's
the
problem.
They have a great roster. They really do.
They have a great bench. And when you want to spread out for shooting threes, they cannot compete with the Spurs. They can't. And I think the big thing is that they legitimately feel like they've been robbed. And you know how that is. If you feel somebody robbed you and you see them, you're going to get at them. And I think that's all that you see the Spurs doing right now. You robbed me.
That sounds personal.
You took my mother's food out of my fridge, and I'm coming for it.
That sounds personal, like somebody stole your turkey from your fridge, man.
That's a great analogy. That's a great analogy. So, all right, cool, man. Well, listen, let's talk back on Monday and see what happens on game two. And, you know, we'll keep in mind your prediction and your robbery thoughts for the Spurs, man. I tell you this, it'd be nice if Battier, before he retires to work at ESPN, he could show up and hit a couple of shots. That would help Miami. That would really help.
I think LeBron going to have a great game. But it's going to, you know, it's like the old Jordan rule. You can have 50. But if everybody's getting shut down, it don't matter.
Very true. Hey, that leads us to our segment. We're going to talk about where you're at and talk about an old Chicago Bull and an old Orlando Magic player. We're talking about a great winner in the NBA Finals. So thanks for joining us, O.
Yeah, looks like we Oh, drop. But, yeah, let's talk about it. So we usually have this segment called Where You At Wednesday, and it's not Wednesday, but we can still talk about where you're at. So this guy is the unsung hero of the first three championships that Jordan and Pippen got. He was the Dennis Rodman of that team.
Yeah.
And then he went and bounced around a little bit, went to Orlando, went to the Lakers. he was an integral part. He was the third wheel of the big three on that team, and his name is?
Horace Grant.
There
the
you
brother,
go.
The brother of Harvey. A Clemson
right.
Tiger.
Clemson
he was a Clemson Tiger, a great rebounder, a scrappy. What I like about Horace that people don't realize, yeah, he was Robin before Robin, but what he did for the Bulls in their first three championships, beating the Lakers, the Phoenix Suns, which was, you know, a talented team, and then Portland,
Detroit,
he really
yeah.
banged. He really banged hard against Buck Williams and A.C. Green and Phoenix and the Lakers and Vlade Divac. He played four. He played a little five for them when Winnington and Longley weren't on the floor. And Horace Grant was very solid. You know, he'd get you the double-doubles every night. And in the playoffs, you know, we looked at his percentages and his stats. You know, the careers are like, a, you know, just a little bit over, what, 11, 12 points a game, eight rebounds. But, you know, he'd get you a steal. He'd get you two steals, get you two assists, a block. He did a little bit of everything.
Right.
But
he was
definitely
a shooter.
Yes, definitely, and the unsung hero. He went to the finals with the Magic. They, you know, beat Jordan in the playoffs when Jordan came back, and we talked about that team with Shaq and Penny Hardaway and Dennis Scott and Nick Anderson, and they got swept by Olajuwon. That was rough. But he went there, and then he went back again with the Lakers in 2001. I think, is that when they beat the Sixers maybe? And he won with Shaq and Kobe. So he's 4-1 in the finals for his career. And Horace Grant, man, where you at?
Where you at?
You know, we know
Horace?
you got your nephew
your
playing in the
nephew?
NBA draft. Right?
Exactly. So you won four titles. You played for, what is it, 6 to 5 teams. You went twice with Orlando. You played with Michael. You played with Shaq. You lost with Shaq to Hakeem, then you won with Shaq and beat Allen Iverson. So you played also with Kobe. So think about who he's played alongside, right? He played alongside
yeah.
and played meaningful minutes, right? Alongside Jordan, Kobe, Shaq, Pippen. He played in Seattle, right? So he played with Gary Payton and Sean
yeah.
Kemp. And he played with Kobe, so wow, and Penny Hardaway. I mean, this guy's must have some crazy. We got to get him on the show. He's probably got some crazy stories. Four titles, playing with all those great players on some really really good teams. I wonder if we asked him what his biggest disappointment was professionally, if it would have been that 4-0 sweep to Houston, because you got to think. You were young in Orlando, or they were young. You came in the league in 87, so that was your...
Right, he was 29 then. He was a veteran, but
right,
he was crafty. And, yeah, there's probably a lot of disappointment with that because knowing the talent and what Shaq became, and with Penny there, you know, we know what he would have been if he didn't get hurt, and he was still healthy
Nick
then.
Anderson.
And the fact that they beat Chicago in the playoffs in a great matchup, and Penny, you know, to win had like 38 and like 18 or something in the playoffs against Jordan. To get swept and Nick Anderson missing those free throws, you got to believe. And that wasn't a great Houston team. It was a great Olajuwon.
No, it really wasn't.
But just Kenny
and that was
Smith.
A team, yeah, that was a team before that they had before. No, actually, that team had Drexler, right? Because they had won.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they did have Drexler
yeah,
and Robert Horry, so
that's
true.
The year before, yeah. They had Horry for both, and then they traded, yeah, Otis Thorpe for Clyde Drexler midway through the season and got Drex.
Yeah, so I guess they were a little bit better, but you don't want to get swept
but
in the finals. But I'd
fifth.
Be curious to find out what he felt about the team without Jordan and getting jerked with the Hubert Davis foul, because him and Pippen really they stepped up that year to prove – they won their division. They had like 57 wins, and they, you know, they proved that, hey, we can win, me, Scotty, and Tony Kukoc without Mike, and they played well.
Yeah.
They really did. They should have beat the Knicks in the playoffs, so.
Maybe that's his decision.
Anyway.
Yeah, losing on a 4-point play to the hated Knicks.
That was rough. That was rough, but it was great for us Knicks fans. It was Oh, man, that was fun. That was fun. So, yeah, Horace Grant, where you at. Ray and Tay are reaching out, calling out to you. Hopefully we have some NBA veterans joining us. Ray, you know, met up with some guys at a great event. I don't know if you want to tell the audience about it or whatever, but
yeah, it's a company called Thuzio, and then what they do is they try to do great experiences based on networking and interacting with professional athletes. So the theme was championships, and so the three marquee players up there were Robert Horry, Robert Parrish, and Bill Cartwright, and the three of them combined for 14 titles. Pretty amazing stuff. They were talking about what it takes to be a champion, playing with – I talked to Robert Parrish about playing for Red Auerbach and playing for Phil Jackson. He only played for Phil for a minute, but playing with Larry Bird and Kevin McHale, ML Carr, Dennis Johnson. It was great. It was great. I ran into Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder. He gave me his business card.
Yeah, man.
It says Chocolate Thunder on his business card.
That's what's up. We, you know, he's with us on Twitter now. We got to like that. So that's great. And I think, and obviously Big Shot Bob, man, seven titles and not a 7 week titles, 7 strong titles, because he was a part of the big four of all the teams. You know what I mean?
Anecdotally, I asked him, I said, Robert, do you have kids? He said, yeah. I said, tell me about these NBA titles. You got 7 of them. Are they like your kids? You love them all the same? He said, nah, the one that was special to me was the 2nd Houston one. So number 2
and they beat the Magic.
Of 7 for him, but when they beat the Magic, the one we were just talking about. And I was thinking to myself, wow, that's interesting, because it was the 2nd one. He was already in Houston, but that's the one that stands out the most for him. So if we get him on the show, we'll ask him to elaborate on that a little bit.
Well, remember, in that one, he had a big Western Conference Finals. I think they beat the Suns and Barkley. And Robert Horry hit some key shots and was really clutch to getting them back to the finals. So, yeah, you know, that was just sort of the start of Big Shot Bob. Because he was huge, played at Alabama, good sort of tweener, played the 3-4 position. Robert Horry had a great career of his. So we said the Rangers. What do you think, NBA Finals?
I got the Heat winning this game. I think it goes 1-1. I think then the Spurs take one in Miami. I think the critical game is Game 5 in San Antonio.
Okay. I would have to agree. I think the Heat are going to win this game, and I'd like to see you gotta play Haslam. I just don't understand it. I mean, you can't give – yes, Duncan is good, but you can't just give up the middle and put that pressure on Bosch and not have some weight and some enforcers to fight off Splitter and Duncan. So, I mean, hopefully he switches up his strategy. It's weird. It's almost like Spoelstra. I feel like in every series, it's like he gives away one game. And then he makes the adjustments. Do you notice that? Do you feel that? I mean, I feel that, man. It makes me crazy.
I think there's a crazy stat where they're 5-0 in series that they've lost the first game. So they lost to Indiana, that team that was reeling coming into the Eastern Conference Finals, and then they just proceeded to smack them around. Even in the finals against that was the first one they won, but the finals against against Oklahoma City, they lost that first game. Everybody was talking about how OKC might sweep them, and then they came back and won 4 in a row.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm hyped for game 2. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, and you hope that the AC is on. Popovich said we got to pay our bills.
They said it's fixed. It's fixed. I mean, not it's rigged, but the AC system is repaired. it should be all good.
They paid their bill. Well, that's good. We paid our bills, and we had another great show. Oh, you know what? Before we go, let's read an email. I did see this one in there. This is sort of interesting. This is Troy from – where is it from? New Orleans. Troy from New Orleans.
T-Roy.
T-Roy. Trouble T-Roy. Shout out to him and Heavy D and the boys, right, Troy? So Troy from New Orleans. Oh, wow. Okay. So he asked, should – Chris Paul, because we didn't talk about this with we got to mention the NBA all starting teams. He said, should Chris Paul start to be ripped like LeBron was in the media for not getting to an NBA championship? or getting to the NBA Finals or not winning one. So both.
Yeah.
And
I hate to say it, but yes. I mean, I don't know to what degree, but especially this past year, he's got talent. And going into next year, if the roster stays the same for the Clippers, Chris Paul needs to get out of that first round. I mean, he's putting up basically Carmelo and KG type of performances in the playoffs, which is reach
and
the playoffs.
And he was all
NBA
first team. Right, it was Paul, Harden, LeBron, Noah at center, and Durant, the two
Durant,
forwards.
Yeah, the MVP.
Yeah, and so our the ones that we noticed that were missing, Carmelo and Westbrook didn't make second or third team. You got Lillard on the third team, the second team forwards. You had Howard with the center, Kevin Love and Griffin. And
Paul George got himself third team ahead of Carmelo and got himself a $7 million bonus.
$1 million, yeah, yeah.
Because of that.
I tell you, you know how I feel about that. I think Melo actually had a great season and doing more with less like Tom Brady. It's funny when people come out with these articles ripping Tom Brady, looking at the stats, and it's like, well, yeah, Tom Brady didn't have great receivers this year and still got to the AFC Championship and had no Gronk, so please spare me. Spare me. You can look at stats any way you want. Tom Brady's a beast, and he hasn't lost it yet. So it's the same thing. I think some of these guys, you know, Lillard, you know, made third team, and they're stepping up. I think it's funny because, yeah, Troy, I would say Chris Paul's got to get ripped, but he's great. But you know what? The playoffs, Westbrook was the best point guard, and Tony Parker, like again, is the best point guard because he's in the finals. And I think Tony Parker doesn't get enough respect.
Tony Parker will be one of the very few underrated Hall of Famers. I mean, this guy
yes,
does not get enough
definitely
pub.
I would say that. Right now, you know, if you had to rank him, you know, I can't put Paul as the best point guard because he just doesn't win. You know, I mean, I guess statistically you have to say all around, but what's the value you put on winning? Because Paul can get these stats, but if he doesn't transfer, you know, Westbrook outplayed him. I mean, we saw it with our own eyes. Paul wasn't horrible, but he didn't do enough. So
he's got
I mean, right now,
here.
I go Parker,
talent.
Westbrook, Paul. I have to go Parker, Westbrook, Paul. I mean, Westbrook's the most athletic and talented. But in terms of winning for your team, it's got to be Tony Parker, man. He's doing it, you know. Pure stats and athlete and everything, it's Westbrook. But Tony Parker's the man right now.
So, all right, great show.
Great show,
man.
We want
to wish everybody a great holiday weekend. You know why it's a holiday? Because it's sports on all weekend. You got the NHL Finals, the NBA Finals, you got the Belmont, you got the French Open. It's a holiday. So,
we
got to
thank,
holiday,
look, 70 years ago today is D-Day. We got to thank all the veterans for D-Day,
that's
man.
That's the real deal. Sports is fun, but that's the real deal. That's life. That's for real. Go out
so D-Day.
And see a veteran, shake his hand or her hand.
Yeah. 70 years, that's crazy. So, great weekend coming up. Enjoy it. Let's go California Chrome. Get the Triple Crown, man. Let everybody have some fun on Saturday. Thanks for listening and talking sports with friends.
We're out.
See you Monday.